Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to say, ahoy, or land ho, and not feel weird about it. So here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance offers access to the largest towing fleet on the water. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to say, shiver me timbers, and not feel weird about that either. Get more with GEICO.
Welcome to another episode of Love and Reality Podcast. I am your host, Ricky Valero. On today's episode, we dive back into the world of The Traders, Season 3, Episode 6. We have a crazy pulpit between Danielle, Caroline, and Rob. And then, of course, we have another explosive roundtable with somebody else being eliminated. On the flip side, we are in Season 1, Episode 3 of Vanderpump Rules, episode titled You Don't Know Jax. And another wild and crazy episode with our favorite people at Sir Restaurant. A lot of drama unfolds, and it is a fun episode for us to break down both The Traders and Vanderpump Rules. Before we dive in, do me a favor, subscribe here on the podcast platforms across the board. We are also on YouTube, where you can watch our facial expressions as we break down these two wild and crazy shows. Thank you guys so much for the continued support of the Love and Reality Podcast. I hope you enjoy the episode.
Without further ado, folks, we're going to dive into Season 3, Episode 6 of The Traitors. Obviously, we kick off with, in my opinion, Caroline has taken the cake for facial reactions to things. But Rob's reaction to this entire thing was hilarious. Because we only got a brief moment of the battle that could start between Danielle and Caroline at the table, which didn't make a whole lot of sense, you know what I mean? So, like, we got a brief little fiasco there. However, these two start to fight again. And Rob intends to say, let's work together. And then, of course, Caroline kind of his, you know, I don't believe either one of you. She said, I don't want to murder anyone other than you two, which I found hilarious. Then what I think is beautiful, right? It was like, you know what, guys? We're the traitors. Let's all work together. Let's kumbaya. Let's be good friends. And let's decide on murdering somebody. Right? All right. Fox, it was quite simple. High. We're tensions are high. And then we reel it in and we're all kumbaya. Right?
Yeah. It was real, you know, interesting. I think you and I talked about at the end of last week. Would Caroline be wise to have sat on that information? Probably. But that's, they don't. There's no vibing, no loyalty, you know,
at all,
no teamwork at all. So they're all going after each other. Then, you know, Danielle says she's going to walk it all back, and that seems to settle them down for the time being. They're still just letting Rob pick who he wants to murder, which is how we end up with our victim getting selected. It's basically somebody that Rob perceived as a personal threat, which I thought kind of it was another one that backfired on them. People not really understanding the strategy or, you know, what's going on.
The big thing is Rob keeps targeting the people that want him murdered or bring his name up, which only makes him look more and more guilty.
Which I don't know, it seemed almost a little bit like he may be playing the game now of their people are trying to make him look guilty and look like he should be banished. You know, you can only do that for so long.
Yeah, so it came down to Bob H., Wes, and
I think
Ivar.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So obviously Bob H was murdered, as Alan Cummings would say, leaving us another person down, which at breakfast, you know, breakfast began. One of the first things, one of the smartest things I think Sierra has said since the beginning, she says she's starting to wonder if Danielle is a traitor. And then as this conversation begins to happen, a door obviously is knocked. And then, of course, Derek walks in the door and says, if you're a traitor, wouldn't you want to murder Rob? If he's a faithful, why wouldn't you want to murder him as well? You know what I mean? Like, you're trying to murder this guy either way. And everyone thinks he should be dead. And then, of course, in walks Boston Rob. And then, of course, you know, the final three were Danielle, Ivar, and Wes. They walk in the door, and then, of course, Bob H. was murdered. Danielle mentioned killing Wes, but Rob went to Bob H. And to me, was interesting. I thought Danielle being a little bit more pro-Wes was a little bit shocking to me, but I think either you kill Bob or Wes, it's still pinpoint Rob, right?
Yeah, but I think taking out Wes probably would have put more heat on Rob. That's why he was real opposed to it. But there hasn't been a lot of great strategy. The last time they actually had a strategy is when they put the people in the coffins, knowing that whoever came out, you know, would be suspected. But I think almost everyone's off Ciara now. So the real problem for them is there aren't a lot of, you know, they've been tactful, I guess, in leaving not great players behind, but those are also people that have no suspicion on them. And as you're getting tighter now, we're, you know, after this week, what, we're down to 13. Mm-hmm. Not a lot left to
8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Yeah, 13. Well, then after this week's 12, right? So
no, we're down to... I thought it was we have 13 left. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13.
Yeah, 13. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, because they said there was 15 or 14 when they.
14. Yeah, 13. And then, of course, somebody will obviously be murdered in the episode. Yeah, I didn't watch this week's trailer, but I did find out how they're supposed to murder the next person, which I find intriguing.
They have to do it face-to-face.
Yeah, which is kind of cool.
But I don't think that's... Is that going to be the... Oh, I guess maybe that is the...
That is the murder.
Because you end with them in the... Usually you end
we got a little bit of
going to the turret, and this time you go back... And, you know, all throughout the episode, when you're getting asides, Rob's basically calling it a nightmare and disorganized and complete chaos. And that essentially seems to be what it is.
Yeah. And then, of course, you know, Alan Cummins comes in and says from treadmill to dead still, which was hilarious. I love his one-liners about whoever gets murdered. It's always funny. Whoever does his writing should win an award. And this show has won an award. He won an award for best host, I think, at the Emmys anyway. All right. Everyone calls out Tom and his words of wisdom he pretends to have. And then, of course, Tom, you know, poor Tom, pulls Brittany to the side and said, he said, it's Dolores. And she just responds, like, within the matter of seconds. Like, the quickness of Brittany's response here makes me want her to win the show now. Because she just goes, it's not her. You know. Poor Tom. Tom's wrong about everything. But you got to keep, like, the thing about it is, why would you, first off, you don't murder Tom. Tom's dumb as a box of rocks, as we've seen. He can't figure out anything. I'm enjoying it. I love watching Tom in the show. I love that they pick on him, and he's just like, anytime at the table, it's like, Wes. Rob. Oh, my God. Like, he just has this befuddled shock look on his face. Now, guess what, folks? Does anybody remember like 5 minutes ago when we were talking about the opening part of this episode where we were like, yeah, traitors have decided to let bygones be bygones. But apparently Danielle threw Caroline under the bus yet again.
Well, she brings up a valid when they're arguing about it. Did she do it again or had she done so much of it the previous day that it's all coming back? You can't and really
she's
get
just now. Out. She's just now getting approached about it, right? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, and people are just now. Either way, they're not going to be.
We'll briefly run down, obviously, the whole entire competition here. I think the competitions are just something to add to the pod, to add a little something, a little wrinkle to the game. They had to work together to put all of this stuff inside a thing to blow it up to win $30,000. They won the $30,000. The shields went to
Carolyn, Chriselle, and Dylan.
So obviously Dylan is protected. Rochelle's protected, and of course Caroline's just protected from being anything, because I do think, also by the way, I think the shield should prevent them to not only be not murdered, but I think they should be protected from the round table. I'm just saying that. I think that would make an extra layer of your strategy would be different at the round table if you're targeting somebody and they the thing. So obviously you didn't watch last year. I didn't think they didn't reveal who had the shields, right? So they kept it kind of a mystery. Certain people know who do, but the reason they did that is last season they did this and they lied about who had the shield. And in return, because of that, they murdered somebody that had a shield, which then allowed them to pinpoint somebody as a potential traitor. So that's what they utilized it for last season. But Wes brings up to Dolores that her name was brought up by Tom. And then Derek suggesting he's coming for Rob tonight. Caroline is now planting a seed that Danielle's a traitor. This is one of the things that is interesting. So apparently if you're a traitor, you're not allowed to out and out say that the other person in your pulpit is a traitor. You're not allowed to come out and say it. And they're saying there's a lot of people that are writing fine lines and using they're doing a Bill Belichick. They're reeling in the gray area of the rule book. Which I find interesting. Now, Brittany, who we've noticed, has kind of become Rob's sidekick. If we've got Batman and Catwoman, she is definitely Catwoman or Robin, whatever one she wants to be.
Dylan's Robin.
Yeah, Dylan's Robin. Yeah, you're definitely right. Dylan is Robin. And then,
of course, Brittany is Alfred the butler.
Exactly. We got the four of them together. So Brittany is suspicious of Wes, and because he's building a case against Rob so hard, confronts Derek about it. Derek later approaches Danielle about Boston Rob as well. Rob finds out it's his name being thrown around. He asks Danielle if she thinks it's true that they're after him, and she lies and said, I think it's Wes. Everyone is saying Wes. We knew that she was lying about that. And I think he knew she was lying about that too, because she's not a very good liar. And before we talk about the round table and before we reveal anything that happened to the round table, how did you feel about going into the round table and who did you think was going to get eliminated?
I thought it was going to be a confrontation between Rob and Wes and Derek, because that's kind of what it was setting up to be. I thought it was not looking good for Rob, and then Wes opened his mouth.
Yeah, exactly. So I thought it was hilarious that Dolores kicked things off by just going after Tom for no reason. And you know, a bad faithful is bad to the team, right? You know what I mean? So Tom is a bad faithful. We all know he's a bad faithful and he's terrible. But then Derek was like, you know what? Shut up, everybody. Shut up, everybody. I don't care about Tom and his stupid foolery. We don't care about tomfoolery over here. Let's bring what we want to talk about to the table. Obviously, he brings up Rob. We get an argument between Bob, you know, Boston Rob and him. And then Bob H. mentioning him pull a move the way he did. And then Boston Rob ended up, you know, and didn't end up murdered. He said Alan Cummins turned him into a traitor the moment you denied him. Rob said he will, you know, Rob brings up that, you know, he fights back saying that everything Bob said he said was a lie, which isn't technically true. The only thing he said was, I swear to God that I'm not a traitor, is what he said. That's the only thing that he really lied about there. So well, Rob, again,
he said he never lied because he doesn't actually believe in God. So
exactly. So Rob tried to use Rob keeps trying to pinpoint words that he's trying to think that if people forgot that he existed, you know, he brings up, he doesn't understand how he and Ivar are still here. He says they put a target on him and they don't want to waste a murder on me the traitors don't want to waste a murder on him because they know that they will do the job, which I thought was a pretty fantastic line. Mm-hmm. It was great. He's, you know, basically insinuating the traitors know that you guys are going to eliminate me because you know that I'm a threat and the traitors don't need to murder me because of that. It's a waste of murder. And then he goes, I've heard Dolores' name, Danielle's name, Caroline, but they all came from Wes. And then here comes, was it Brittany? I think it was Brittany or Gabby. One of the two.
Yeah, they kind of blend together.
Brittany or Gabby comes in and goes after Wes. Wes said a bad traitor would be running around being aggressive. Bob the drag queen. Wes said, anyone that makes the mistake on voting him, I got my eye on you. Everyone freaks out about this.
Wes turned women off faster than Deshaun Watson going to a massage parlor.
This was, listen to me, I argued with my brother about this. If Wes does not say this, if Wes does not make himself sound like a person that is willing. I'm going to put like I'm putting a target on your back. If Wes does not say this, Wes is still in the house as of today.
Probably. I mean, he turned all the women against him, you know, except for Daniel and Caroline who have their own pissing contest. But all the rest of them were like, oh no.
Exactly. And when and we'll talk about it in a minute when they vote, but Caroline Caroline says Wes is being used as a scapegoat. She has multiple lies going in here. She calls out Danielle, which pissed me off because this almost felt like a wasted battle because it was cut so short.
Oh, it was.
But it just kind of started the fire. You know what I mean? All right. So Tom the entire time is watching on very confused because he's still, I think he's still even convinced after all the argument, he's still convinced that Dolores is still a traitor somehow. I think he still thought, you know, what was happening. So before the fucking, before the voting starts to happen, right? Before the votes start to happen, we see everybody whispering to every vote Rob, vote Rob, vote Wes, vote, don't vote Rob. Like what? Like a few minute of jockeying positioning here. Obviously the vote start off with, we had Robin, you know, kick off the voting by voting for Wes. He said he did it because Rob helped him get a traitor, which I think people keep forgetting. People keep pinning Rob, and Rob needs to bring this up, and I don't know why he hasn't. He should have from the beginning said, Dylan is the one that started the Bob the Drag Queen thing, and I just jumped on because I believe Dylan. And the fact that he hasn't said that has blown me away, because if everybody remembers correctly, before Rob entered the house... No, babe, Rob was probably at the, was he at the round table? Because Dylan brought up, I think it was the first round table that they were at because they had just got put in the game. But from the first round table that we see Dylan, Dylan calls out Bob the Drag Queen and says, you're a traitor in that before Rob ever mounted in. So Rob should have used that to his advantage. And the fact that he hasn't really kind of annoys me. And then Caroline votes for Danielle, which just was hilarious. Wes votes for Rob. Sam, Ivar vote for Wes. Rob voted for Wes. Dolores voted for Tom. Hilarious. Danielle voted for Rob, which she said I was leaning towards Wes, but went with the facts. I was kind of shocked that she went there. But she also wants Rob out. Gabby voted for Rob. Derek voted for Rob. Tom voted for Rob. I think I have that right. And then it was, I think it was like 5-4 Rob, right? And then in comes Chrishell, who literally says, voted for Wes because he threatened him. And that's where, again, this at this point in time, Rob has the votes. You got Chrishell, Brittany, and Wes, or and Sierra that are left to vote. Those are the only people left to vote in this moment. Those are the three that are ready to vote. If he does not threaten them in this moment, Rob is gone. Period. That's the only way to look at this.
Or at worst, maybe tied.
Right. And I think if you go to a tie, right, I'm, you know, they re-vote. Basically, the only people you can vote for is Rob and Wes. If that's the case, you have Caroline and Dolores who didn't vote. And Caroline 100% votes for Rob. I firmly believe that. I think she gets rid of Rob there. And I think Dolores does as well. I think they both vote for Rob in that instance. But Chrishell, Brittany, and Sierra put the final nail in Wes's coffin. You know, him threatening everybody kind of sealed his fate. So he did say he was faithful, and he said, fuck all of you guys on the way out the door.
Yeah, but I mean, the way he comported himself at that table, if you were trying to keep yourself in the game, was...
Terrible. Terrible.
I mean, again, read the room, dude.
Yeah, it was a terrible play. It was terrible by him. And I understand even the point of view of saying like, yeah, I was just, you know, making a point. It doesn't matter. You literally threatened everybody and said, if you vote for me, I'm coming after you. So everybody kind of insinuated. It doesn't matter even if you're not a traitor. Even if you're not a traitor, you're coming after me. It means at the next round table, you could be, you know what I mean? Like you could be coming at me at the next round table. So, all right. And that all that would do is build dysfunction in the house, right? You know what I mean? It builds, you know, everybody hates you to everybody. And again, the whole theme of this is the traders are quote unquote watching and laughing at you guys. You know what I mean? That's and which, you know, Rob is, you know, that's all Rob has been doing is laughing at you guys. Derek still can't. This is the thing that I want to find interesting. I'm going to ask you before we get to the pulpit, which was funny. And Brittany calling Derek right to his face a liar, I thought was hilarious. And now he thinks that she's a traitor. And then, of course, Derek says to Dylan that Rob is a traitor and Brittany is one too, which I thought was hilarious. Before we get to the pulpit, who do you think they're going to murder?
You know what I think would actually be funny is if they murdered Tom because Dolores was so angry about that. It would put it right back on her because there's not a lot, you know, if I'm Rob, the last person I let them go for is Derek.
Yeah. If you kill Derek, you're literally the target.
You know, you could take out, you know, he could take out one of his strong supporters. Like, well, I guess Dylan has a shield, so I guess it'd have to be Brittany. You know, and that would definitely throw suspicion away from him.
Or you vote for Dolores, or you get it limited to Dolores, and they try to think Tom's a traitor.
No, I don't think anyone would think Tom is a traitor, but sacrifice Tom.
Yeah, Dolores could be the pinpoint of the...
Yeah.
Tom could have been right.
Yeah.
Could you imagine the house?
Yeah, or it would be, like, confounding in its own way. So there's not a lot of...
there's no consistency.
There's
in how
no the... great choices really to no. to go with. You know, if I'm Rob, I make sure nobody that voted for me are we going for.
Yeah, I know, and that's the hard part where I do agree with you that Tom might be the person because it's a gray area.
It's either Tom to immediately get people like, oh man,
looking at Dolores,
or
Dolores. I don't think you can't, because the thing about it is I don't think he wants to lose his numbers. You know what I mean? Like he can't. Which I want to point out, my brother did say, Sam said that if Rob walked through that door, his next target was Rob and then voted for Wes. He's such an idiot. Like, this is the worst batch of people ever. Obviously, we got a tease of what's happening with the pulpit. This is where I found Rob's facial expressions to be the greatest things I've ever seen in my entire life. Because he was like, oh my God, what is going on?
Well, because they all voted essentially
for one another. Well, Rob voted for Wes, but yeah.
Well, yeah, so I mean,
Caroline voted for, but he threw Caroline and Danielle's name out of the table though.
Yeah. So,
I love what Caroline said. She said, I know what we have to do. We just have to go after Danielle. Oh man, that was so, I can't wait to see the downfall, like the how Rob's gonna try to reel that one back, because he did a decent job this time, the first time, and then you know this time it's gonna be, I think, a little bit harder to reel everybody in. My big thing is I really feel like, all right, so this is where I'm gonna predict what happens next week. I think Tom does get murdered, and then I think Caroline or Danielle are knocked out of the game at the round table. I think Rob last again. I don't know how, what, when, where. I think Rob survives again, but I think it's going to be either Caroline or Danielle. I think the round table is going to be interesting. With Derek probably pushing for Rob again, but yeah.
Well, I think he'll probably take a little bit of a, you know, maybe take a little bit of a break from that. If I was Rob, I'd work on trying to mend fences, you know?
Yeah. I would do and, that. And then
I think, you know, after shooting a shot that time, I think too, if I'm Rob, I'm working hard to get a shield.
Yeah.
So that not being murdered, you know, well, they couldn't do.
Yeah.
But I think this next murder is going to be key to me. It's either got to be Tom or Brittany. I think Rob's the only one that has strategy, and that's, you know, he seems to be steering those ships. I think that's where they gotta go, because either somebody's super close to Rob where he wouldn't do that, you're cutting out his allies, or something off the wall at point, and there's really only one person at this point they can go for that, because only two people voted for outliers, and one of them was Caroline, and they can't.
You can't murder her. Yeah.
They can't murder a traitor, right? I mean, so
yeah, no, not at all. And the thing about it is with that, you know, I think to me, or you kill Dylan. I think that would be the most shocking.
He's got a shield.
Oh yeah, I forgot. Yeah, you're right.
That's the other. You couldn't have gotten Caroline anyway because she has a shield. Dylan, Chrishell, and Caroline are the ones with the shields.
Yeah.
So that kind of
get rid of Catwoman.
And Gabby voted against Rob, so that kind of eliminates her from that. So really, that's what I'm saying. Like my two options, there's no way you can allow Derek's name to come up there.
If Brittany's murdered, I think maybe you pin Derek as a traitor.
Well, yeah, then you could make him look bad.
Agree. Yeah, that's a good choice. I like the idea of Brittany being murdered. I think that's the best. Rob needs to suck it up and realize that, hey, I've got to take one on the chin. And we have to murder somebody. And he has to murder somebody that didn't vote for him. He has to. Or you know, again, Tom's the fall person, which I don't think Tom's that great of a choice. I don't think he is because he's not a candidate to win. Now, the thing about it is what I'll be interested is, let's just say if it goes plays out like that, let's just say we get rid of Brittany and then Caroline or.
I mean, I guess you could, what you're saying, take out Dolores and.
I don't know.
I just don't think anyone believes Tom's a. Unless it flips around and they're like, well, he's been throwing out the stupidest theories.
Maybe he's just a dumb faithful because he's really a traitor. You know what I mean? Yeah. I do think it would be funny if a traitor gets killed and they get to recruit another one. You make Tom a traitor. That would be the greatest thing ever. He'd be the worst. Could you imagine him in the pulpit?
Well, they're kind of running out of time for that.
They do, but it comes this late in the game, though. If you get rid of another traitor, they definitely will have a recruitment. They definitely will have one more recruitment, I think, between... Then I think there's 11 episodes, I think it is. And then the 12th is the reunion, I think. Hmm. So we're in episode. So we're about almost to the halfway point. So I think that's why I really believe that we're going to.
Yeah, this is episode 6. So,
yeah, I definitely feel like a traitor is going to get. They do have an episode. They have a couple episodes coming up where they eliminate like two or three people. The last episode, I think it's like the final five is where they go into it. So, and I love the ending's going to be a little bit different than it was in previous years. So, but that being said, yeah, I'd be interested to see who they kill, who they murder, this coming up week. Another fun episode. I love this episode. I love this show. It's an incredible reality show because it makes it even better because all of them are so freaking, well, not everybody. There is smart people on this show. Dylan, I think smart, even though he's got Rob, I still think that he has some sort of suspicions Rob's there, but Rob helped him. So it's like, there's a fine line, but Wes was a good player. Wes pinpointed it. So did Derek. But they just failed because Wes decided to go AWOL.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to say, ahoy, or land ho, and not feel weird about it. So here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance offers access to the largest towing fleet on the water. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to say, shiver me timbers, and not feel weird about that either. Get more with GEICO.
This week's episode is season 1, episode 3 of Vanderpump Rules. The title of the episode, You Don't Know Jax. The synopsis of this episode, Lisa tries to keep her staff's personal life out of the restaurant. Jax makes a bold move, but a revelation pushes Stassi towards another man. Oh, my goodness. So, we obviously pick up where we left off last week where the infamous breakup was happening, right? You know what I mean? So Stassi is meeting with Kristen and Katie about her and Jack. She said she put her 30 days notice in with the apartment. That means she's serious around here. Everybody kind of mocks their breakups because apparently they've done this a million times in the past. They break up, they get back together. They break up, they get back together. Katie said they thought they'd get married someday. I don't. And what's crazy is, okay,
didn't she say she thought they'd get married someday?
Yeah, she thought. Yeah, Katie thought she said. Katie said she thought Stassi and Jax would get married one day. Which I don't know. We're only three episodes in. Okay, they've been dating for 2.5 years, and apparently all they do is fight. How do you foresee that leading to marriage? I don't know. As these people,
when you have people that have the chemistry of two pieces of painted cardboard touching, how could you not expect that to be a lasting relationship?
I guess so. You know what I mean? And then, of course, on the flip side, you know, Stassi is mad because everybody's taking Jax's side. She lays down the law saying she's not happy. In this argument, I will say this. I think I was team Stassi in when it comes to, hey, guys, I'm telling you about what is going on with my relationship. But then again, it's kind of like I'm team Stassi, but I'm also unsure because I'm confused about whose side that Katie and Kristen are on. They say they're on Stassi's side, but they defend Jax a lot. So it's like, I think they're like in the middle, but like in this type of situation, I think you get yourself out of the middle or you lean one side or the other. It's like, but then also they're on the flip side of, they always get back together. So what does it matter?
You know what it reminds me of? There's a scene in The Big Bang Theory where Sheldon pitches a fit to Leonard and screams, "Why don't you ever take my side?" And Leonard screams back, "Because I can never understand your side." I had empathy for those girls. I don't know how you could be on Stassi's side because her arguments and her logic and her actions veer from confounding to petty. And that's about all we really ever get. You know, I'm sure there were logical reasons for just completely ending the relationship with Jax, but honestly, nothing we saw in their public gatherings in episode 2 justified that kind of four alarm response other than her own pettiness. So, you know, sometimes shows are not edited in a way that present everybody equally or fairly. I did, you know, on the positive side, we've mentioned before, are we ever going to see these people do something outside of working at Sur, since they all supposedly have these other jobs? And we do actually see a couple of them go on a modeling train. And, you know, it kind of, Stassi spends the beginning part like, "You don't have sympathy for me. Why are you not rallying behind me? Why are you not protecting me?" And then goes on this modeling outing and proceeds to drag her friend Kristen against her will into things she doesn't want to be a part of.
Exactly.
In terms of learning about Tom. And I'm like, okay, this is why no one has sympathy for you, because
stirring the pot for other people's relationships.
I mean, you're literally jamming her up for no reason.
Yeah. So, Kristen and Stassi go to a modeling shoot. Again, shocker here. First thing, I just want to mention something real quick. We have another episode where somebody's working and Lisa tells them to go do something else. Hilarious. And then this, I think her name's Natalie. I think it's Natalie, but is struggling to make a schedule. Staff changes her schedule without having anyone covering it, which is hilarious. Normally you settle that by just firing people, but not here.
Which honestly did lead to an all-time banger of a quote where the scheduling manager says we have too many people, and she says we have a lot of people here not necessarily working. And honestly, that has been my frustrating observation. Once again, too, we had another episode where one person who actually looks like they are working and accomplishing something gets dragged by Lisa for
doing their job. Yeah, when she walks in the door at the middle part of the first part of this episode, this person's like literally answering phones, and she's like, "What are you answering phones for?" That's like, I guess it's not her job, but somebody's got to do it. Apparently, you know what I mean? You want people to show up at the restaurant.
Phone proceeds to ring off.
Off the fucking hook. So, all right, now we go to this modeling gig, right? This modeling shoot. What I like to call, obviously, we come from this sports background here. We like sports. I'm calling it Model Gate. We're model gate here. Not to be mention anywhere near Deflategate, but I think this could be on the same realm of controversy. You know what I mean? We had Deflategate, Modelgate. We're, you know, we're all talking about gates being, you know, altered here. But so they arrive at this photo shoot, and they're just bitching. Well, first off, these guys, these ladies just nitpick, right? They nitpick about anybody but themselves, which is no wonder why it's hard for me to find a reason to like any of especially Stassi. I don't know if I could ever like Stassi in this show, but I could be wrong. There's been better comebacks in our time. But they're looking over at these girls, and they believe that Tom used to live with these twin girls. Okay, so he did not believe that he did live with these twin girls, but apparently he slept with one of the twin girls, and now one of these twin girls is on the set with them at this modeling shoot. So instead of being, I don't know, mature adults thinking, you know, this was a couple years ago. What does it matter? Right? You know, what does it matter? He did it years ago. We weren't together, et cetera, et cetera. As you mentioned, Stassi's like, no, let me get the shovel. Let me bury you 10 feet over here. You know what I mean? Let me stir the pot. Let me get the big old, you know, stirring pot. Let me get this big old bowl of chili brewing for you. And decides, no, you need to confront. Not only does, to Kristen's credit, she was like, no, I don't know if I really want to say anything. What does Stassi do here? Matt, what does Stassi do? Tell everybody at home what we already know, but tell them what she did.
I think it's even stronger than that. Kristen pretty much didn't want to talk about it, didn't want to engage about it, didn't want to have anything to do with it while they're on the job. And Stassi tells her, you've got to, I'm going to go ask her. And then essentially out in the middle of everyone, asks everyone. Her if she it wasn't slept even with in Tom private. Sandoval. Yeah, not even. In private, kind of knowing it. See, this is why, like, we begin the episode with her pleading for understanding and why can't you be on my side? And then she just lays her friend out. I guess maybe they're not friends. Or yeah. With friends like that, do you even need enemies?
I don't even know, man. It's I can't, like, it just shocked me that she just announced this to the entire, like, which everybody then on in set. Turn
sets Kristen off on an existential crisis that leads her to, while she's working, go and give Tom a hard time about it.
And then Tom gets in trouble
the next day in trouble. When he's actually working.
Yeah, actually. So, all right, so let's set the scene. Obviously, Tom, Jax, and I forget who else, a couple of the guys are sitting there. No, also, Tom.
How
it's
many
Tom,
bartenders
Tom.
Do they need at this?
I don't know. Place? We have Tom, Tom.
I feel like there's like five people that have now been announced as bartenders.
Tom times two, Jax, and we're sitting there having a little bit of a lunch, maybe a midday drink.
Can I ask you a quick question about this? This. Yeah. Insanely bothered me, unless this is like a contrivance of producers, which probably is. If you work somewhere during your off time, you just go there as a light hang. Also, this restaurant appears to be quite expensive.
Yes.
They talk about, can I get enough shifts to even cover my rent?
Yes.
Why would they be going there? That's made no sense.
Yeah, that part of me, I agree with you. I wrote that down too. I'm like, how are you affording these drinks, but you can't afford to pay your rent? You know
or
what I mean?
Why would you go to your place of employment just for a light hang?
Yeah. And so as they're sitting there having a conversation, the boys just want, you know, they're trying to, let's pep up Jax. You know what I mean? Jax is just sad panda. And Tom and Tom, we're sitting there. And then Kristen just arrives. She comes in hot. And I've never... Again, Tom Sandoval probably ends up being a big douchebag at some point in life. And we understand that. But right now, Tom Sandoval is not a big douchebag yet of what we've seen so far. Outside of maybe he just likes his makeup a certain way and he likes his hairspray a certain way. And, you know, whatever. Teach his own. For me here, he is the most uncomfortable I think I've ever seen a man in my entire life. He is just like, oh my God.
Well, because when you're hanging out with your colleagues slash friends at your place of employment during your off time, the first thing you want to do is talk to your current girlfriend about any past conquests you've had.
Exactly. And then on top of that, it's not like he cheated on her with this girl, right? It's not like that happened. It's not like a confrontation of, you know, hey, you did this last week. No, this is years ago before apparently they might not even known each other that this happened.
They do intimate this is why he's no longer roommates with the twins, which makes complete sense. Also, kind of a weird, probably a weird roommate situation anyway.
Apparently, because it was like, I think they're twins, right?
Said it's in the same place, and having been to that place a couple times, doesn't look like there's multiple bedrooms. So
no.
I have some queries.
Yeah, look, there's a lot of studio apartment situations going on in this group. Obviously, Tom is not happy. I love the fact that for some reason he apologizes, and he's like, he apologizes to her and says, "Sorry, you had to go through that." Peter and Jax are just, their jaws were on the floor at the same time. You know what I mean? They're like, "What is going on?" You know what I mean? Like, they're just, do we do?
Again, none of these people have any kind of boundaries, and that's probably been their problem in life. Going to continue being their problem in life. Maybe why they decided to make a show about him. But would this not have been a conversation, were you inclined to have it, that you'd want to have one-on-one in a private place? I mean, I will say, at least when Stassi and Jax have fought at work, they go out into the back alley.
Yeah, exactly. They don't do it in front of everybody. And then, of course, this leads to Kristen, you know, storming away, runs into Lisa, says she tries to complain, and she said if it's about her and Tom, she doesn't want to hear about it. She tells the camera that Kristen has been there forever and is kept because she's a great waitress. I don't know how I feel about that. All right, so.
Well, they just want young, model-looking women that don't wear bras to be the waiters, and then all the men just crowd around and make drinks, apparently. This is why they have, what do they say, like 60 people on
Exactly. All right, so now here's the follow-up, right? So this is the next drama that we get into. We got a Stassi love triangle. First questions first. Okay. We're all about rebounds. Do what you want to do. Rebound, you know, sex is a thing. It happens. My question is this. All right. First things first. Frank, you sly little devil. You know what I mean? He is a sly little guy.
Based on Lisa coming down on men, how does Frank not get fired in the next episode? Because he's clearly...
stirring the pot.
Well, actively trying to make the situation worse.
10 times
worse. There's no...
Almost causes a fist fight. We'll talk about it in a minute. But first things first. So we find out that there's a rumor that Stassi and Frank are doing the nasty, which again, they've been hanging out a couple days since the breakup with Jax. I need to know a timeline. I wish we had a map. I wish we had like this day happened. This is when the breakup happened. How many days between Stassi and Frank? My problem was this. I thought Frank was just kind of like a rebound. I need to settle into my life. I'm trying to get over Jax's sleep thing. But it was more than that as we start to unfold. It's like, I really like him. I'm like, wait a minute. Pause. Timeout. Flag on the field. 15-yard penalty of confusion. Because to me, it felt like a rebound, but then we find out it's more than a rebound. And it's been like, again, I don't have an exact time frame of the breakup to the actual, you know, them talking. But she was like, contemplating by the end of this episode of like, I think I want to be with Frank, or I'm not sure if I want to go back to Jack. So I was like, a serious enough to have that conversation.
Well, and also the beginning, you know, she said she's unequivocally done with Jax, and yet spends a whole time contemplating whether they should get back together, which is pretty much what her friends said. You know, this isn't going to last. We've seen you go through this before. No, I'm real serious this time for what, maybe 5 minutes. And I'm with you. Is this all taking place in the span of a couple of days? Because you see Frank like being a sounding board for Jax after they're shipped. Also, what restaurant in the world allows you to go off ship and just walk around the bar and pull straight up? You know, I want to see the books at Sir. What is this a front for? Also, she said she and her husband do everything on their own and never have partners. But we know she already has one partner in this. And then she introduced that other lady at the beginning as a partner. Like, how many we never have partners do you have at this?
It's crazy. And I think that I don't know if it's too late in time, but Matt and I would love to see the books. We would love to go back to 2013 or 2012 when this was shot. And then God knows for how long we watched this. But like, we want to go back and see the books. We want to see what was brought in, what was, you know, out. You know what I'm saying? But all right. So everything is planned to have the big night at the Super Club. Is that what, Supper Club, maybe? Supper Club.
Everyone's partying. Looks like it's an event that takes place at another club. That was confusing.
I've seen this club used 1,000 times before. And, you know, obviously I'm in the reality TV world, but I think I've seen this place used a lot still to this day. So I do think it's a popping club for people. And there's a lot of people in there. Looks like something that I would not want to do at my age now. But, all right. So we see Stassi and Frank. And she says she's trying to figure herself out. Frank is trying to slide into the DMs. You know what I mean? I don't know what it wasn't DMs back in the day, but they're DMs now. And then we see the two on the dance floor, hot and heavy. Lots of petting, lots of kissing, lots of making out. You know, Frank gets drunk, and then Stassi gets mad. If she wanted to be with an overgrown frat boy, she would have stayed with Jax. I mean, you work with Frank. Frank's been around for a long time. We know what Frank is. Frank, again, he saw his opportunity. He saw his opportunity way before we thought he did. You know what I mean? Because he was at the bar with Jax and getting the lowdown on what she does or doesn't like. And then, of course, what better way to cause drama than have Jax arrive at the bar, at the party, and start to break down that he is just having the hardest time being without her. He said he will do whatever it takes, and he knows deep down inside that she loves him. I love this. I loved every minute of it. He said he would never hurt her again. These two literally acted like they've been together for 50 years and are trying to mend fences.
Update. Because I was curious, I did just look up the restaurant. It's like $22 for a wedge salad. So I guess I do know how they're. It was like $86 for a steak and then $22 for a side of mashed potatoes. Drinks look like they're an average of 22. Like I guess that's how they're still in business. They also look like they keep banker's hours at night on Tuesday through Sunday. So, I was like, is this still a real place? It definitely has.
You can still own it?
Stir LA. I assume so, because the show's actually still going. Because I was looking at it, but and maybe people are going for the novelty, might have, you know, perked up their business. But
she still owns Sir. Sir is a restaurant going, lounge. Yeah.
Going back to the entire thing was preposterous. And then the asides with Jax when he's like, yeah, if I was Frank, I'd be mad too. Cause I just, you know, I walked in there, whispered a few words and she went home with me. And I'm like, well, okay. You know, and then that leads to Frank coming back the next day.
Oh, hold on. I just want to say one thing I thought was funny before you did that. Frank says to Jax, I heard you were on the prowl. And I about lost it. I could not have been more happy. And then Jax follows up with a line to the camera. I'd be pissed if I was Frank too. I walked in and went home with your girl, which is weird because like what? And then now, sorry, go back to what? Now Frank is now in the midst of stirring the pot.
Yeah, and then comes back and launches this story about Jax having gotten a girl pregnant in Las Vegas. Well, apparently Jax and Tom were on a modeling shoot and could not respond. She's just having like some drunk off at her house. And that's when her girlfriends arrive and seem very suspicious of this whole thing. I also was suspicious of a lot of this, and that leads to potentially a breakup. And at the end, you know, you get Tom and Jax and all this stuff's strewn about. She let herself out and they're picking. He's like, I'm just gonna grab one simple bag and take an overnight packed. things in crates. They're all like, carry. I'm like, do you not understand a symbol? And I'm like, I'm taking this dog. This dog is mine. And that leads to, this was an episode with all time bangers of quotes.
This might this be the greatest line ever.
Tom, you know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. You know, like radiation. Madame Curie begs to differ. I mean, anyone who's going through cancer treatment would probably have switched off. I mean, unless you were looking for an all-time distraction, you're not watching this anyway. You know, you got more things going on in your life. But it was quite a back to, I watched this episode on Thursday and then later saw the traitors. And I am heartened to know that though a decade and a half have passed, Tom Sandoval remains intact.
As, he still has some incredible
one-liners. That's quite the wordsmith.
He has incredible one-liners, though.
Yeah, from Lisa's observation that she's well aware that no one actually works at her restaurant where they work, to Tom talking about how radiation makes you stronger.
Yeah, and it's crazy to me that Katie and Kristen came to the solution of saying, Frank told you this? Like, they only ones with common sense here.
But they had no qualms drinking his like $700 worth of crystal champagne.
Yeah, she's like, why didn't you say this if you had known it for 2 months? Which is, again, and then Stassi's like, I know this is the truth.
Well, then Frank tried to play off, well, we're good friends. No, you ain't.
No, you're trying to get you some after the night of being embarrassed in the club. You know what I mean? Yeah, they drank and they all sat around and drank his $600 bottles of Cristal. It looks like there was like four or five of them from what I could tell. And he was more mad about that than I think anything else. Well, he said things were great last night, and she texted him and said, he cheated. Tom said he knows. Jax knows he's telling the truth. And Jax says, ask the state.
Did you watch the previews for the upcoming episode?
I didn't this time.
So incredibly strong denial there at the end of the episode. Then they show you scenes from the next week where he's getting asked about it again and and the way they edited the previews is a long pause. And I'm like, okay.
Next week's episode is called season one, episode four is called Vegas with a Vengeance.
Which, yeah, so they're going to go to Las Vegas where he supposedly got this person pregnant. And come on, why would they all keep going on trips and hanging out? Aren't they going for like Stassi's birthday or something?
Yeah, so it says right here, the staff leaves Lisa shorthanded when they go to Las Vegas for Stassi's birthday. Jax crashes the party and causes a fight. Funny enough, that episode aired on January 18th of 2013. Like, we're almost like about to be on the fence here of like matching up our weekly dates of the show with what the time frame we're in, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
Oh my god, episode 5 is the greatest name ever. And I'm gonna spoil it already. It is called I'm Not a Ghetto Bitch. Episode 6 title.
Did you read
caught with your trousers down? I'm not gonna read
the description of episode 5.
I'm not.
Oh, this is gonna be great.
All right. So next week's episode, Vegas with a Vengeance. The synopsis: the Sir staff heads to Las Vegas for Stassi's birthday, but Sheena stays back to make sure things run smoothly at Sir. Stassi disinvites Jax from Vegas so she can spend the weekend with her new boyfriend. Yeah. But Frank, but when Jack crashes the party, a fight breaks out. I cannot wait for the fight to break out. I'm ready for some fist. I hope it happens. But yeah.
Well, and really, this first season's only 8 episodes. We're about the halfway mark because I know there's 10, but episode 9 is a reunion hosted by Andy Cohen.
Yeah, he hosts like all of the reunions too.
I don't know if we need that. And then there's Reunion Secrets, episode 10.
Yeah, I mean, I'm here for it. You know what I mean? It lets, you know, Andy, I think he hosts like all of the reunions too. So, but yeah, that being said, we had another fun, eventful night and at the World of Sir and our Vanderpump Rules crew. I'm so excited about this. It's only getting better. I'm telling you, after the first episode, entertainment wise, it's only getting better. I think it continues to get trashy. But, you know, as of right now, you know what? Next week, I'm going to start putting Matthew Fox's feet to the fire. We're going to start a weekly thing at the end of each episode. We're going to rank our three favorite people in this cast. Will he be able to find three people that he loves in this cast? God knows if he will.
I'm going to have to look up the name of her business partners.
I'm going to make it. You have to. All right, maybe we'll make it our favorite. No, we'll do a MVP of the episode. Let's do it that way. We'll do an MVP of the episode each week.
Well, I mean, it's easy here. The MVP of the episode is Tom.
It really is. Just I mean, quote alone.
Also, he handled himself pretty well in what I thought was a garbage situation.
100%.
Also, they make it sound like he was driving Jax back from his modeling thing.
He's not.
Tom doesn't have a license.
Tom's not driving. We know Tom does not drive. He was a great passenger seat driver, I'm sure. He was telling people.
So
he was
if
telling
Tom
Jax,
wasn't part of this modeling gig, why was he with him? I need somebody to hold my jock strap.
I mean, Tom is full of great material for this. I mean, he had his driver's license suspended for
just because he didn't read his mail.
Because he didn't want to open his mail because he's too lazy to open his mail. And then, you know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, like radiation. Thank you guys so much for tuning into another episode of the Love and Reality Podcast, where we're breaking down Vanderpump Rules. We'll be back next week breaking down season one, episode four.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.